Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I'm very excited that you're here tonight because I'm very excited about my guest. You know, this is Heart Month, and I am thrilled to have one of the very best interventional cardiologists in the entire Southeast here tonight to talk to us about some latest developments in the area of what his specialty is and in heart health in general. Dr. Augustus Villa is here, and while he hasn't been on the show in a number of years, he was here before, and but in that interim, I continued to see him because he became my cardiologist, and I've had three catheterizations, two stents, and this fine gentleman sitting across from me did them all, and I'm still here to talk about it, so I can speak from authority. He knows what he's doing. But we're going to talk a whole lot more, and I'm going to tell you more about Dr. Villa in just a moment. But first, for those of you who may have tuned in to the No Excuse for Abuse event last week with Elizabeth Smart, I think Alper Jewish Family did a fantastic job. Elizabeth Smart was spellbinding, in my opinion. I can't tell you how happy I am that some of my listeners were able to tune into that because of us promoting that on the show. So the No Excuse for Abuse event was a big success. They had well over 500 people paying it, you know, on this Zoom or modified Zoom call. It was great. The other thing I want to talk to you about is vaccines. As I was talking to my guest before the show, yes, get a vaccine. Whatever vaccine you can get, wherever you can get it, however you get on the list, get on the list. Please do that. It is liberating. You will feel better. I promise you. Don't put it off unless there's a reason to do so. But now let me tell you about Dr. Augusto Villa. Dr. Augusto Villa is the medical director of structural heart at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital and for Mount Sinai in the area. He is one of the top interventional cardiologists in Florida. He successfully performed more than 12,000 coronary and peripheral vascular diagnostic and interventional procedures, as well as structural heart interventions throughout his career. He's board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and interventional cardiology. He did his internship at Jackson Memorial Hospital and fellowship at Cleveland Clinic and at Jackson Memorial. And he is he's a wonderful guy on top of all of that. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Villa. How are you tonight?
Thank you very much, Scott, for inviting me again. It's a real pleasure to be here. I'm very excited.
Thank you. So, you know, I mentioned that you are the medical director of structural heart at Palm Beach Gardens. And I want to get into some of the latest developments, and I will in just a minute or two or three. But I don't think people understand what an asset we have here in the area with Palm Beach Gardens Center. It is really a center of excellence for heart health. Can you talk a little bit about it and help people understand both what an asset is and why they should know more about it?
Absolutely. Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center was one of the first hospitals in the whole Palm Beach County to perform open heart surgery many years ago. Then they developed subsequently an interventional program that we've been working there for more than 20 years. And it's one of the busiest programs in Florida, and it's at the same time a top program with excellent interventionalists and cardiologists. At the same time, the hospital has developed other programs like the structural program, which is also another top program that allow patients to, they allow us to help them to fix their valves, which is as patient's age is a relatively common program. Many of them develop leaky valves, little valves that tend to narrow. And now within this new, relatively new field, over the last 10 years, we've been able to fix those problems percutaneously rather than surgically. That allows them to recover much faster with less complications and better outcomes.
I don't want to beat the horse dead, but the truth is that particularly in the area of cardiology and interventional cardiology, going to a center of excellence like PBG really it can be life-saving. It is, and that's not to take away from any of the other hospitals in the region. That isn't the point. But at every level, when it relates to cardiovascular disease and intervention, Palm Beach Gardens Hospital really is state of the art. They've invested tremendous amount of money, both in equipment, resources, and personnel, right?
Absolutely. We have the latest equipment there. And as you said, one of the most important things is the expertise of the team makes a huge difference in terms of outcomes. And in that regards, we have a great team of physicians, of technicians, of nurses that do a great job, and it's reflected in the outcomes.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And you well know because you were there too. But I've been there. I've been there a couple of times, and I've always been treated remarkably well. So there's a lot of things I know that we want to talk about tonight about some of the latest developments. I know you're very excited about this Watchman Flex or FLX versus the traditional Watchman. So maybe we could start by saying, what is Watchman? Why do people need to know about it? And what is this next generation?
Absolutely. I'll first talk a little bit very briefly about atrial fibrillation, which is probably one of the most common arrhythmias that we see in patients after a certain age. One of the big problems with atrial fibrillation is that carries a risk of a stroke that obviously can be devastating at any age. And to prevent that, many of the patients have to be taking an oral anticoagulant. Which we've been doing it for decades with warfarin, and now over the last 10 years, now we have these new medications called the NOACs, novel oral anticoagulants, which are a little easier to manage and deal, and probably less bleeding, less issues. But the problem, like with any anticoagulant, they're as good as they are to prevent strokes, heart attacks, and many other issues. The problem is that there's an increased risk of bleeding. And sometimes this bleeding can be fatal or disabling. And that's where it comes into play, this relatively new device, the Watchman. Until a few years ago, we didn't have any other option when a patient bled severely that, they have to discontinue the oral anticoagulant and they were at risk for having a stroke. Now, over the last few years, they came out with this idea that where the clots are formed when you're in atrial fibrillation is in this little pocket and this little pouch in the left upper chamber. The blood tends to swirl around because it's not contracting well. Patients, the heart is in atrial fibrillation, and that swirling of the heart not flowing well, you form a clot inside this pocket, and then this clot can get dislodged, come out of the heart, and sometimes go into one of the vessels that supply blood to the brain, and that's how you end up having a stroke. So somebody came up with this great idea of, what if we put a plug to close that pocket? And this is the Watchman, in other words. This was tested some years ago. There was a trial that lasted for 4 years, where they compare one group got the Watchman and the other group was taking Coumadin, and 4 years later, what they found out was that the incidence of strokes was the same. So, in other words, Watchman was doing the job that was supposed to do as preventing strokes, the same as an oral blood anticoagulant and blood thinner. But when they look at death, the patients that got the WATCHMAN were dying last than the ones that were taking the oral anticoagulants. And the reason for that is because, yes, thank God it's not that common, but occasional patients die bleeding. And so that's when the FDA approved the WATCHMAN for patients that, for different reasons, cannot take oral anticoagulants. But then this new oral anticoagulants came in the market, and there was always the argument that, well, that's because, you know, with warfarin, that doesn't necessarily apply to this new oral anticoagulants, which are safer and they work better. But there was finally this new study that was published in June of last year in the American College of Cardiology Journal, that basically where they did the same thing. They compared this new blood thinners with the WATCHMAN, and the results a year later were the same. There was no difference in terms of stroke and in terms of mortality, bleeding. And so, in other words, the WATCHMAN is as good as an oral anticoagulant to prevent stroke without any downside. And we have this new device over the last 2 years that we put them through the groin. So that's the beauty. It's minimally invasive, no cuts. We implant this plug in the left upper chamber of the heart. And patients usually go home the next day. And with this new generation of WATCHMAN called the WATCHMAN FLX, as Scott was saying, it has certain advantages. It's easier, less traumatic to insert them. And the outcomes have been very good. So we're very pleased with this new device, because one of the problems that we have with the previous generation device was that that pocket, the left atrial appendage, have to have certain depth. And it wasn't deep enough. Sometimes we cannot insert this device because we need certain depth. Now, with this, we don't need too much depth. It's almost half of what we needed before. So it's easier, and then we're allowed to treat more patients.
In understanding this from a lay person, if I'm at risk of bleeding, and ergo a stroke, the WATCHMAN helps protect that. And this is happening typically to more seniors, people who traditionally listen to my radio show. So a couple of questions. One, is this more common than I realize it is? Are more people leaking blood from the valve? Is that just because we're living longer? So that's one. And then two, how do we know that we're a candidate for this? You know, and I'm not sure that's not the same question, but
sure. Well, atrial fibrillation, the arrhythmia that predisposes you to have a stroke becomes increase exponentially with age. If you look at the group of 60s, 70s, and 80s, the incidence of atrial fibrillation increases dramatically. It's a big problem. And so when you are, when you develop this arrhythmia, yes, most likely that group of patients are going to need to take a blood thinner, an oral anticoagulant. And as I mentioned before, the downside is they can bleed, and sometimes they can bleed seriously. Thank God it's not that often, but as you can imagine, millions and millions of patients have atrial fibrillation. So still, even a small percentage makes a big number. And so those patients, that's where WATCHMAN, will play a very important role, because it's a very good option.
And prior to WATCHMAN being invented, it was open heart surgery, or
no? Prior to WATCHMAN, there was nothing that can be done. Cross your fingers and hope that the patient didn't have a stroke, because obviously they cannot take a blood thinner anymore. But the beauty of this is that once you have the WATCHMAN, you'll be taking a blood thinner for only 4 weeks to 6 weeks. But after that, that's it. You don't have to take any more warfarin or Eliquis or Xarelto.
Wow. Also, as you described, the procedure is relatively non-invasive. If you can go home the next day, that really opens up the opportunity for people. You were just telling me about a patient in their 90s. This is really available to everybody. Can I assume then recovery is fairly benign, very simple?
Yes, that's true. It's minimally invasive. It's through the groin, and patients usually do very well. The incidence of complications is very low in good hands, in expert hands. And you're right. Age is not necessarily a factor. As long as the patient it's a relatively active person and independent, yeah, it's a very good option.
So recovery is quick.
Oh yeah, very quick.
Well, that I mean that is really. Are there people who? Well, I want to go back to AFib for a minute. Again, to the layperson like myself, I hear about AFib all the time. I've done shows about AFib. What is AFib?
AFib is an irregular rhythm.
Okay.
As I said, the problem with atrial fibrillation is that predispose you to have a stroke. Atrial fibrillation, as the word says, atrial means the upper chambers of the heart fibrillate. Instead of contracting periodically at certain heart rate, 60, 70, 80 beats per minute, it just fibrillates. So that carries a problem because there's the blood tends to swirl around, and for that reason, you are more predisposed to form clots inside the heart. And that's when...
Is that problem. Only diagnosed through an EKG, or would I know that I'm having a heart rhythm problem without having gone through an EKG?
That's a great question. In theory, when you check your pulse, by definition, if it's irregular, you will be in atrial fibrillation. But the way to make the diagnosis is with the 12-lead EKG. Although now, obviously, technology has gotten pretty good, and there's the Apple Watches that that where you can, and that's one of the things that came out a couple of years, the version 4 of the Apple, where you can look at your rhythm. And the app, it'll tell you if you are wow. or not. There's also other devices called, one is called the cardio device that you can buy. And the website, and I have patients that I've told them to do it. And you just stick it in the back of your cell phone. And then you put your fingers, two fingers on each side, and it'll show you your rhythm.
Wow.
And then it'll tell you if you're in atrial fibrillation. So sometimes it's very useful to because you're right. You want to know, some patients want to know if they're intermittently in atrial fibrillation, if they're in normal rhythm or not. Other things that we do, it's we give them what is called an event monitor. It's a little patch that you can wear for a month. And also you have a cell phone, so everything is a Wi-Fi. And basically what it does is show what's your rhythm through a month. Or other times we insert this loop recorder, which is a little chip they put under your skin. That's all it's done in the hospital by electrophysiologists. Basically it monitors your rhythm all the time. And every month you download the information, and you can have that for the battery can last for 3 years.
That's amazing. That's astounding.
So that's part of the work. I mean, patients have had strokes sometimes, and they are in normal rhythm, but you don't know if they had AFib a month, a week ago when they have the stroke. Whatever. So
That's fascinating. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with one of the region's most impressive and well-known interventional cardiologists. Dr. Augusto Villa is here. He is the medical director of structural heart at Palm Beach Gardens and Mount Sinai. He's in private practice here as well. I know him particularly well because he's operated on me a few times, and I'm still here to talk about it, so I can speak with authority that he knows what he's doing. If you have questions, because this is Heart Month, if you have questions about what we've talked about as it relates to AFib and the Watchman, or what we're going to be talking about when we come back, TAVR, you can call us, 877 860-9960, 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
Hi, I'm Laura Oliveros, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're a regular listener, we're thrilled that you have decided to come back again tonight. If you're new, you are very fortunate. We have an incredible guest here on Oh My God. Dr. Augusto Villa is here. He is an interventional cardiologist in this area, practicing out of more than one location, but predominantly out of Palm Beach Gardens, because he is the medical director of structural heart at Palm Beach Gardens and for Mount Sinai Heart. And he's here in Jupiter, and I am going to give him a chance to give his contact information a little later in the show, so get a pen while you're listening to this. We were talking before the show about the latest developments in the Watchman procedure and process, and that is evolving quite quickly. But Dr. V and I have been talking in anticipation of doing the show, and there are some real progress being made in the MitraClip therapy, which is easy for me to say, and I don't have any idea what it is, but he does. So why don't we talk about that in terms of the transcatheter mitral valve repair procedure and the developments in that area?
Sure. The valve heart disease is something that has become very prevalent, and the same thing increases its incidence dramatically with age. We see in the patients in their 70s, 80s, 90s become much more often. In mitral regurgitation, which is a leakage through the mitral valve, which is one of the most important valves, the aortic valve and the mitral valve, are probably the two most important valves in the heart. We have four valves. It's the valve between the left upper chamber and the left lower chamber. And basically what it does is when the left ventricle, which is the main pump of the heart, contracts, that valve closes, so the blood goes forward. But when there's a leakage in the mitral valve, you know, the valve doesn't close well for different reasons, and the blood tends to leak forward. The problem is obviously when that leakage is severe. It causes many different hemodynamic problems that will affect the patient, and ultimately the patient develops congestive heart failure and is not treated, can die. So the only option there was in the past was a surgical option, because it's a mechanical problem, so obviously have to be taken care of mechanically. We've seen that, yes, medications will help, but when it gets to the point which is quite severe, either the valve have to be repaired or replaced. And in the past, they were the only two options, and they would have to be done surgically. But as I said, we have this group of patients who are in the 80s, 90s, which have multiple comorbidities, where open heart surgery is probably not the best option because of significant risk. And they came out with this percutaneous option some years ago, where we can put a mitral clip, again, through the groin, going all the way up to the right side of the heart, then going into the left side of the heart with a puncture, because that's the only way to get through there, because there's a wall, the atrial septum. And then once you puncture the septum, you put wires, and then through those wires you'll thread these catheters, and then through the catheter, that's where you thread this mitral clip, which basically, as the word said, is a clip. Basically, it's a device that will grasp both leaflets of the mitral valve. The mitral valve has two leaflets, the anterior posterior leaflets, and then you grasp it usually in the middle, and that has shown to decrease the amount of leakage significantly. And by doing that, patients will improve hemodynamically, and there's studies, one of the latest studies called the COAP study, a very important study, showed that there was not only an improvement in symptoms, which is very important for the quality of life of the patient, but also a significant decrease in mortality, which makes a big, because not a lot of the studies can claim that. And so that's one of the studies that led to approve this for what we call the term functional mitral regurgitation. So it's become very, I would say, popular over the last 2 years. And the same thing as anything in my field, technology keeps improving, and they have now we are in the fourth generation of the mitral clip called the G4 mitral clip. And the advantage of this clip is before we have to grasp both leaflets at the same time and then close the device and, you know, to place the clip. Now you can grasp those leaflets independently with this. So there's just, and that makes a big difference for us in terms of, technically speaking, making it easier and better outcomes. So all those improvements at the end obviously will improve the outcomes, which is very important for us.
It's really fascinating. You're right, the technology is moving so fast. I kind of remember the first time you were on the show, I think we talked about this, and we're already in fourth generation, and I've gotten older, but not that much older. Anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom, here tonight with Dr. Augusto Villa at Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. He is the medical director of structural heart for Mount Sinai and for Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He's an interventional cardiologist with a resume that, if I read the entire resume, would take up the entire show, so I won't do that. But he is renowned in his field, and he is leading the charge in the latest developments. and keeping us healthier longer and making us feel younger. We're going to talk about a couple of other things as soon as we come back, and I have some more questions about mitral valve. But if you have any questions, the good news is you can call us and ask us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us. If you're a new listener, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom is a show about boomers and their parents and the issues that we go through. None more important than cardiovascular health, particularly during Heart Month. And I am fortunate tonight to have my guest, Dr. Augusto Villa, here. He is an interventional cardiologist who is doing cutting-edge, state-of-the-art treatment of various conditions. And he's improving the quality of life and extending life through these procedures. We talked a little bit about the Watchman. We talked about mitral clip. And we're going to get on to TAVR in just a minute. But I want to circle back on the mitral clip. If I understood what you were saying to me, Dr. Villa, this mitral clip has really ended up reducing the amount of open heart valve replacement and repair surgery, I'm going to guess dramatically. Am I right?
Well, I wouldn't say more TAVR, definitely. Okay. But the mitral clip, it has opened, is an option for all this group of patients that surgery wasn't an option before. So that definitely has, which is great, because it's a big population, growing population, their 80s, 90s, that have this problem. And unfortunately, there was nothing else we were able to offer them in the past except just medications, and many of these patients don't work very well. So this group has expanded tremendously, and it's a great option.
Is the recovery, just before we move on to TAVR, is the recovery from mitral clip similar to Watchman, or is it more complex?
It's incredible. Many patients go home the next day. You can't beat that.
That's amazing. It's amazing. So let's switch gears. What is TAVR, and why do we care, and why is it important?
Sure. TAVR goes for transcatheter aortic valve replacement. In other words, you're putting a valve in the aortic positioning, through a catheter. The conventional way, the way it was traditionally done, was through open heart surgery, which still is done. It's still a reasonable option and a very good option in many patients. But again, initially, when this was started almost 10 years ago, it was the way it started was in patients there have they were not surgical. That for A or B reason, their risk was extremely high. And what the study showed at that time was that patients that got TAVR did better than just treated medically, because that was the only option that could be offered to this group. And so initially was approved in a group. Then we moved to the second group, which was high risk. Patients under 80s and 90s with many different comorbidities that can be operated, but their risk was high. And when they compared that group to TAVR, they at that time with the first generation TAVR, patients did basically the same in terms of outcomes, complications, death. And so obviously TAVR got approved for that group of patients and became also the standard of care, because if the outcomes are the same, might as well go with the less invasive. Then it went to the intermediate risk patients, which are patients more in their 70s, 80s, which with much less comorbidities. And in that study, we were able to show that patients with intermediate risk did better with TAVR then. And by then, they were already using many of the third generation devices. They did better than surgery. So then it was approved for intermediate risk and sort of became the standard of care. And then a little more than a year ago, then it was the studies with the two different valves that we have for low risk was published, showing that the outcomes were the same, and then open heart surgery. So now it's approved for also low risk patients. So I would say that in the majority of the institutions, you know, TAVR has become the standard of care, unless for some reason there's a contraindication to do it that way, then patients, or there's a need for other kind of open heart surgery. If the aorta is too big, that needs to be also repaired and replaced, or the patient has a lot of blockages that need bypass surgery, then under those circumstances, then they go for open heart surgery. But if not, many of these patients are going for transcatheter aortic valve replacement.
And that differs from TMVR?
Yes. TMVR is transcatheter mitral valve replacement, which it's a little more complex intervention, but with great outcomes. I did one last Thursday, a lady that had open heart surgery, and they put a mitral bioprosthetic valve in the mitral position. At that time, she told me it was 10 years ago. She was 10 years younger, and she was in the hospital for 2 weeks. Ultimately, did fine, and the valve lasted for 10 years, which usually is the average for these bioprosthetic valves. And now that valve is not working well. It's failing, so needs to be changed. So what are the options? One would be another redo open heart, open up her chest again. Obviously, she's 10 years older and carries, you know, significant risk. So now we have this option, relatively new option, which is to put a new valve through the groin. And again, it's a little more complex because it's not like the TAVRs that we go from the arterial side directly to the aorta. We have to go in the mitral from the venous side into the right atrium, cross through a needle, through the septum into the left atrium, and through the left atrium put it across her old valve. And the patient did great, went home 3 days later, and she's doing very well. This is the kind of work that has been done at Palm Beach Gardens, and obviously state of the art, and trying to help as many patients as we can.
It is really fascinating. All of these developments are are relatively recent, and they really are been game changers in terms of limiting the kind of intervention that in the past would have been, I assume, much more debilitating for many people, particularly as we age, which, of course, all of these are designed to do that. If you're just tuning in, Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, here tonight with Dr. Augusta Villa. Dr. Villa is an interventional cardiologist of quite some renown in South Florida and in other places around the world, which is why he is the medical director of structural heart at Palm Beach Gardens and with Mount Sinai. I'm going to tell a little bit more about his practice at Mount Sinai and tell you how you can reach his practice and go see him if you need to see him. We're also going to talk about how COVID is impacting cardiology over the last year, and it really has had a dramatic impact. And we have a lot more to ask Dr. Villa. If you, however, have something that you'd like to ask, you still can. All you have to do is call us, 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
Hi, I'm Laura Olivares, the president of Silver Solutions, the senior-focused home services company. Unfortunately, COVID-19 continues to be a reality for too many of us. But thankfully, every day, more and more of our older adults are getting protected by the vaccine. At Silver Solutions, we pride ourselves on protecting older adults as well, from safety improvements to downsizing to emptying the home after the loss of your loved one. Silver Solutions is here to help you move forward with ease and confidence. To find out more, call us today at 877-AGE-SAFE. That's 877-AGE-SAFE. Or visit us online at silversolutions.com. Our team is bonded, insured, and follows rigorous CDC guidelines, including the full use of PPE. Life can bring the unexpected, but when it comes to making growing older safer and less stressful, you can count on us, Silver Solutions.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As your parents get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared?
Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. ElderCare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and resources to assist you and your loved ones with their daily activities of living with healthcare challenges.
As a patient advocate, ElderCare 360 brings together a team of patient-focused, caring professionals with decades of experience. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800.
Make ElderCare 360 part of your team. ElderCare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're thrilled that you're with us today. If you're in 95 listening on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches. I hope you're home by now and you had an easy trip back. Today was a Chamber of Commerce day for the most part. On the Treasure Coast, 106.9, thank you for joining us. If you're a regular listener, we appreciate you so much, more than we can possibly say. If you're new, we hope that you'll come back. Tonight I'm talking to Dr. Augusto Villa. Dr. Villa is an interventional cardiologist specializing in very complex cardiac intervention. I guess the practice is now called Structural Heart, and he is the medical director of Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center and for Mount Sinai. And you are part of the Mount Sinai practice, Dr. Villa, with an office here in Jupiter. How do people make an appointment to come and see you? How do they find you before I go back and pound you with more questions?
Sure. The best way is to call directly to 561-627-2210.
Give it one more time.
561-627-2210. 561-627-2210.
And you have a number of partners, so I know everybody's going to want to see you after tonight, but you do have a number of partners. The Mount Sinai practice is pretty substantial.
Yeah, it's a great group of cardiologists, top-notch guys, and they specialize in different things.
I want to talk about the impact of COVID on cardiology, but before we leave the valve, you alluded to the fact that the normal life expectancy of a valve is plus or minus 10 years. Are these procedures we've been talking about tonight, the MicroClip, the Watchman, the TAVR, and the TMVR, does this widen the time for re-intervention? Are these longer lasting, shorter lasting? I know the recovery is great. Do they last as long as the traditional valves?
That's a great question. That, unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you. All we know is, like the classic example is for the TAVR. So far, the data shows that, yes, most likely it's going to last at least as a surgical valve, because it's a matter of fact, they're the same companies. They do both, the Sapien valve, the Medtronic valve. They do surgical and TAVR valves. But we think, and hope they may last a little longer, because there's some data when we talk about hemodynamically speaking information in that will last longer. But so far, we don't have that data to really tell you, yes, it's going to last more. But the average, I would say, is about 12 years of a bioprosthetic valve.
That's fascinating. And, of course, you're able to do it on people that are older, and so it just adds to the quality of life. That's fabulous. So, COVID, it has really altered everything about the practice of cardiology, in the sense that people either are avoiding going to their cardiologist or, in other ways, afraid of going to see a physician, afraid of getting a procedure. One, that's kind of not good, is it? I mean, that's got to have negative impacts. Are you seeing what I'm saying is happening?
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's been devastating for everybody in different ways. When the pandemic started almost a year ago, there was a significant drop in the number of heart attacks, and it got the attention of everybody, and it was published. It was, what happened to the heart attacks? Where did they go? And it's not that the incidence decreased because patients were taking better care of themselves. It's just because they were staying at home, they were scared to go to the hospital, and they were dying at home. So it was terrible. This panic. So basically, one of the message we've been trying to get out there in the community is, if you don't feel, go to the hospital. If you don't feel well, don't wait until you have a heart attack and arrested at home, because we're not going to be able to do too much at that point. So if you don't feel well, go to the hospital, and we'll take good care of you. But yeah, definitely, as you said, we've seen that. And also in the office, definitely, you know, patients were very concerned going to the office at the beginning. You know, obviously there was the option of telemed, which we all have different opinions, you know, and maybe not be as good as seeing the patient face to face, but at least it's a reasonable option for patients that would not like to, you know, expose themselves for A or B reasons. But yes, unfortunately, it's been terrible, devastating. You know, patients, you know, not being able to go out and do their regular activities, to exercise. You know, a lot of people gain weight. A lot of people have a lot of, for many different reasons, because they were not exercising anymore. They were not going to their gyms, and they were at home all the time, obviously next to their kitchen, which was not a good thing. But unfortunately, it was devastating in that regards.
I know it's been it has been devastating, and I do know that people avoided going to the hospital. I think we should be clear that it is safe to go to the hospital. People don't appreciate the fact that you really have done a remarkable job. You at the hospitals and all of the physicians have done a remarkable job in making sure that everybody who goes is safe. And if somebody is suspected of COVID, they go to the left and everybody else goes to the right. But I guess that's an exaggeration. But the point being that you are safe to go to the hospital and you should not ignore the warning signs, right?
Absolutely. As you said, all this year, I feel, when I'm in the hospital, I feel extremely comfortable.
Right.
I'm more afraid when I go out to a restaurant, when I sometimes go with my wife and you know, help her in some shopping, you know, to Publix and the things. I'm much more scared to go to those places than to go to the hospital. In the hospital, I feel very secure. Everybody wears a mask. It's very limited, the access to visitors and things like that. So they're very strict in that regard. So there should be no concerns for patients to go to the hospital when they need it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I thought we had a caller, but I think they hung up. In any event, if you're just tuning in, it is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I've been talking tonight with Dr. Augusto Villa, who is an interventional cardiologist at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center. He's in private practice, the Mount Sinai Group, medical director of structural heart of both. We've been talking tonight about a whole host of things. And if you just tuned in late and you're sorry that you did and you wish you had been listening from the beginning, the good news is that you can, in fact, listen to the show because we podcast. Yes, we do. Tomorrow we'll be up and running. On podcast, just search OMG, I'm Getting. You will find us. If podcast is not your thing, palmbeach.comfortcare.com. You'll find us there as well. Comfortcare, comfortcare.com. Palm Beach, one word, .comfortcare. Don't put a T in there. I know you're going to want to. Spell check's going to make you do it. Don't do it. Take it out. Of course, you don't have any excuse for not listening at 6 o'clock, unless you've been busy with doing something else. But we're on iHeartRadio, so all you have to do is search for Palm Beach Gardens Hospital. All you have to do is search for True Oldies in Palm Beach on the iHeartRadio app, and you'll find us. And, of course, there again, we simulcast TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, we're going to be talking about fall. Stephanie Rzbika is going to be here. I know Stephanie well. I've known her for years. She's an expert on falls, how to prevent them, what to do about them, why you should be doing the things that you need to do to prevent them, and that is so you don't end up in the emergency room about that. Heart, cardiac issues notwithstanding, you don't want to fall and go to the hospital, so don't do that. In 2 weeks, we're going to be talking with Dr. Jagged with Boston Scientific about deep brain stimulation and Parkinson's disease. It's going to be a fabulous show. I do think I have a caller on the line, and in the few minutes we have left, let me jump on that. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Kim. How are you? You have a question for Dr. Villa?
Yes.
Go for it. He's here. Go for it.
Hi, Dr. Villa.
Hi.
I know that we're speaking mostly about the TAVRs and the MitraClip and Watchmen, but as we are talking about Heart Health Month, I was wondering if you have seen the effects of the COVID virus on the heart with myocarditis in all ages.
Sure, that's an excellent question. Absolutely. It's been very well proven that COVID will affect the heart. At different ages, even we've seen it in young athletes that will develop myocarditis later on, and this carries a risk. Obviously, we physicians have to be very aware of this because those patients have to be seen to make sure that they're not at risk when they return to their regular practice to drop that. So they have to undergo several different kind of tests to see how their heart has been affected. But yeah, absolutely, that's a condition that's been well described, and that the coronavirus can compromise the heart in different ways. And one way is by causing myocarditis, which is basically inflammation of the muscle of the heart. And it can range from very mild to extremely severe. Just to give you an example, I remember it was 3 months ago, I have this lady in her 70s that came in with symptoms of diarrhea, and she had COVID, went to the floor. She arrested there, and they were able to resuscitate her in the hospital, and they did an echocardiogram, and that's when they called me, and the ultrasound of the heart showed that her heart was extremely weak. She was went into shock. She was on many different pressors, our medications to keep their blood pressure up. And I thought we were going to lose her. And I thought that the only option was to put this micro pump called Impella, which is basically what it does is assist the work of the heart by pumping the blood out of the heart. It's a micro pump. That we inserted through the groin again, and I talked to the kids. They want to discuss all among them, and then hours later they call me they say yes, they want everything done. And to make a long story, they put in a pump, which did make a huge difference. It helped her heart, and 3 weeks later her heart was back to normal. I was impressed, you know. So many of these are transient, but in between, if they don't have the adequate support, the patient can die from a failing heart. So it can be something very serious and concerning.
So, Kim, thank you very much for asking the question. Of course, Dr. Villa, if you want to make an appointment with him, can be reached at
561-627-2210.
And I thank you for calling. I hate to cut you short, but we have to end on time because there's another show after us, but thank you for calling, Kim. I appreciate it. A quick question about myocarditis. How prevalent is it? I know a lot of people are afraid of it, but is it rare or is it more commonplace than we know?
Interesting. It caught the attention of everybody in the medical field because there was this study that was done in Germany that was published where they looked with a cardiac MRI. That's the best way to look into this. For evidence of inflammation, and it was in a high percentage, right, like 40%. But clinically speaking, I would say it's a small percentage. We don't see it that often. As you know, initially we thought we were gonna be, and we were kind of very concerned. But yeah, it's I would say clinically speaking, it's a relatively small number.
I had so much more I wanted to ask you tonight. You're such a good guest. You're so gracious with your time. I know how busy you are. I can't thank you enough for being here. I know I learned a lot tonight. I'm sure the audience did as well. I hope I can twist your arm, make you come back again someday, even though I know how busy you are. But thank you for everything you do. Thank you for being here tonight. Thanks for this unbelievably great information, and I appreciate it. It really is terrific to have you here.
Thank you very much again, Scott. It's my pleasure to be in your show.
Great. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, every Monday night, talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Falls, you don't want to fall. And if you want to learn how not to, tune in next week when my guest Stephanie Wisbeka will be here. Till then, have a great week. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Goodbye, all. Get vaccinated. Bye.